Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul.
Do I lift up my soul?
Unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Do I lift up my
soul? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me.
Unto thee, O
Lord,
do I lift up my soul,
O my God. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed when not my enemies triumph over me.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this chance for another day, for another one of your words, for another message, that we may come together and fellowship in your name. Lord, give us the understanding. Give us the wisdom to hear your words. And most of all, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this chance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. For
lifter of my
cheer. This has been a crazy week out in the world. And part of this week I was looking at some different commentaries and different news reports, and it just shows that this world is in turmoil. There is strife. There is all kinds of confusion and anger and all kinds of mixed up feelings running around. Primary reason for this is that the churches have forgotten to do their jobs. They've forgotten to show the love of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people don't get back to the root to find out why some things are actually going the way they're going. The root goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And I'd like to start with Chapter 11 this morning, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land
of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. These people were what culminated from Noah's sons and daughters that were with him when they escaped the flood. People forget, at one time on this earth, everyone spoke the same. One person did not look that much different than another. You didn't have skin tone variations, and everybody spoke the same language. Could you imagine that today? If everybody spoke the same thing, and there was no division between people because of colors or because of heritage. Most of the world's strife right now is between different groups of people. It was interesting listening to a couple of commentaries, because one was a black person giving his commentary and his view about what went on in Dallas. Another one was, he said, a Latino from Puerto Rico who was a police officer for 16 years in New York, and his views and what he saw. And now we have this other group of people who are being forced upon almost all the nations, that are really not an ethnic group. And it's causing confusion in the world. This is this group of people that call themselves Muslims. Which is dividing all the countries. And the Lord tells us that a house divided cannot stand. As far as I know, the only country that's not accepting Muslims into its borders is China. They're in all of Europe, but I have not seen a single report of any of them being in China. If they are, they're staying hidden. And that's what we're seeing all the countries around the world right now are divided. None of them can end up standing. Even the Muslim countries themselves are divided. And that is why they continuously fight. Because you have the Shiites and you have the Sunni Muslims. Both of them look at the other side differently. We have a promise. We know that no matter how bad things get in this world, no matter what happens in this world, we have one that we can turn to. We have one that'll protect us, that'll love us, that'll provide for us. And it is our duty to share him with the entire world. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the one and only one that through his word can close the divisions. Because in the end, there is only two groups that are left. Those who are Jesus Christ who end up in heaven, and those who are not that end up in hell. And it is our duty as Christians to spread the word of God, to spread the love of God to all nations, to all people, no matter who they are or where in this world they are. So as we go out into the world, let us remember this. Let us give out the word. Give out your testimony. Tell people what the Lord has done for you and what he is able to do for them also. It's past due time for a revival in this world. It's coming to the time on the day when you look up in the cloud and you see Jesus Christ. It's getting closer and closer every day. Let's do our job, amen.
We are gathering together unto him. Unto him shall the gathering of his people be. We are gathering together unto him. Unto him shall the gathering of his people be. We are gathering together unto him.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
What Bob's talking about, it brings to mind, who is the Lord of the nations of this world. Shade thinks he knows. Who is it, Shay? Nope, you're wrong, Shay. It's Satan. And we know from the Bible that Satan is there to destroy, kill, devour, steal. So if we know these two things, why is it a surprise to us that all of these different nations under the headship of Satan steal, devour, destroy each other, attempt to destroy that which God has built, his kingdom? It shouldn't be a surprise. That is how it's always been. That is how it will be. If you don't want to be involved in that, there's a choice. You can choose to defect from the kingdom of this world and choose the kingdom of God. Amen. And that is a promise. It's a wonderful promise. There's freedom there. That's where love is. That's where the power of God dwells. And if you're in that kingdom and you're in that place and you're walking through this world, you can show others that choice. They can see the difference. But one of the things we got to do is straighten out our heart. I was listening to the other services today, and folks have, you know, kind of been hitting this point. And something came to mind. It was, I don't know if you'd call it a nursery rhyme or, you know, what you'd call it, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Everybody remembers that. Maybe not the young the young ones here, but sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's a lie. That's just a flat-out lie. See, the words that come out of your mouth evidence that which is in your heart. And that stuff that's in your heart will hurt you. It's one of the songs that we sing that I had Mel hand me the lyrics to it. It's called In the Light. I'm going to read a couple of the verses here. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. Have you looked at these things that are in your heart, these words that come out of your mouth to evidence that which you might not see? Have you allowed the Lord to shine the light inside your heart, in that darkness, to see what's there? You really, you got to get to the point where you see that you're a man that's in need of a Savior. Because if you're not at that point, you're not going to look for Jesus. You're going to continue to walk around with this lie, this facade, this mask on, pretending that you're all right. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. O Lord, be my light and be my salvation, because all I want is to be in the light. Is that your desire? Is that your prayer? Gosh, for me, I like to think that it's my desire and think that it's my prayer. But I tell you, if I'm going to get right down to it and look at it, I would be doing things differently if that were my only desire, and it were my only prayer. The disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring this sickness under control. Because the only doctor that can bring that sickness under control is Jesus. There's nothing that you can do to solve that. I'm the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. That cuts a little deep. Because I tell you, I got a lot of excuses. They sound good in my head. They're coming from my heart. So, you know, it must be right. I mean, I'm the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. It's just justifying ourselves repeatedly, over and over and over again, and pointing the finger at everything else. That guy, those people, that other thing. A lot of times we blame God. I remember when I was seventh grade. I had just started going to school at they called it Christian Brothers Academy, and basically what it was a Catholic school, and I hadn't been brought up, you know, with any sort of, you know, religious sort of training. I didn't know Jesus, anything like that. But I think the decision was made because, you know, the public schools around where we lived were not safe, essentially. I mean, there was folks that were getting, you know, stabbed in the cafeteria, and there was fights and things. And, you know, my parents were able to send me to this other place, and they made the best decision they could at the time. So praise God. And I went over, and I'm at this school. I'm in seventh grade. As most of you know, I played hockey for most of my life. I was pretty good at it. And they had a hockey team. They didn't have a junior varsity hockey team. They just had the varsity hockey team. That's all that they had. And I spoke with the coaches, and my parents spoke with them, and they wanted me to play on the varsity team as a seventh grader, which is, you know, kind of unheard of. But I had to pass a physical. And I had to do some sort of, I think I had to do so many push-ups in such a period of time. I had to run so fast. I had to show them that I was physically able to, you know, compete with these older children. I passed all of the physical things, but when the doctor took that stethoscope and he listened to my heart, he heard what he called a heart murmur. A heart murmur. And that's a stopping point right there. Not going to be able to move forward. May not be able to play athletics, you know, for the school at all. Ooh. But there was one of the teachers there. He was the principal or vice principal, something like that. He was the guy that was in charge of the seventh and eighth graders. His name, I remember it to this day, his name was Brother James. Don't remember his last name because he's just Brother James, right? And he knew that I was upset because I had wanted to play. And I think that he also knew that I didn't know Jesus. And he took me aside. And he spoke to me, and he told me that, you know, the doctors heard this heart murmur. You're aware of that. Do you know that there's somebody that can fix that? Well, what's the doctor's name? No. His name's Jesus. Now, if you want, I'll pray with you, and we can get this thing taken care of. Sure. Let's give it a shot. And he had prayed with me. And, you know, we requested a retest or however they phrased it. And it was a week later, the doctor came in and he came right to school there. And they listened. And there was no more heart murmur. So praise God. I could then play varsity hockey and go on throughout the rest of my life thinking that I had no heart murmur. But you read the Bible and you find out the thoughts and intents of this heart are only evil continually. You see where David suffered from a heart condition. You see where so many of us suffer from a heart condition. These murmurs, these complaints. Crap, it's still there. It's worse. How can I get rid of this heart murmur? How can I get rid of this chatter, this talk? This nastiness that's inside of me, that's inside of my heart. I can't do it. But Jesus can. I can ask him to create in me a clean heart like David did. I can ask him to guide and direct me and show me the things that are in my heart that I need to be delivered from, that I need to just cast off of me. But I have to receive that answer. Because a lot of that stuff I'm going to like to hang on, or I'm going to want to hang on to because I like it. That's why it's still there. But in order to create that clean heart, you got to remove all the disease. You got to cut out all the things that are killing you. It's my prayer that the Lord create in me a clean heart. It's my prayer that the Lord raise up a people that are of one mind and one heart. And I encourage all of you to join.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh.
renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, O the joy of thy salvation. Renew a right spirit within me.
Praise the Lord. Boy, that's an enthusiastic sounding group. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, both of you. I've been thinking a lot lately about counterfeits. Isn't that an interesting thing to think about, huh? Who wants counterfeits? Anybody? You go out to the store and you buy them all the time. It's called costume jewelry. You use brass instead of gold. Pewter instead of silver. People, without realizing the thought behind it, go after counterfeits all the time. Who was it, Jehoshaphat, who lost all the gold, the shields of gold, and he replaced them with shields of brass so that the people would not know? And for somehow or another, he thought that was okay. We exchange our gold all the time. The counterfeit of brass. It's interesting that in Genesis 3, God gives a promise that Adam would have a seed that would undo what Adam had done, would take away the sin. A perfect seed. Who would take away the sin and crush Satan's head. Crush him, destroy him. And immediately, that first counterfeit came to pass in chapter 4. The first counterfeit of Satan came about in chapter 4. His name was Cain. The next major counterfeit that I see was talked about Babylon. People had one voice. They all spoke the same thing. One language. And you see, the problem was not that they all spoke the same language. The problem was they wanted to make for themselves a name. They weren't out to make God's name. They wanted to make for themselves a name. We live in a world today where we're coming about where the whole world speaks one language. It was interesting listening to YouTube one night about airplane traffic. And it doesn't matter what country you fly into, every airline pilot has to communicate with a tower in English. I think you and I were listening one night, and this one German was complaining because he's a German flying in a German airplane into a German airport and had to speak English. And he was complaining about it. But you see, speaking one language is not a bad thing. It's why you speak it that determines whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. God has given us His Word in the form of the King James Bible. It is in English. There are many Bibles out there. There are many counterfeits out there. Just as Christ prophesied. However, there's only one true word or logos, Christ in written form. And that's the King James Bible. Now, where am I going with this? Paul says we're all to speak the same thing. Have the same mind. Amen. Now, if we all speak the same language and all speak the same thing and it's all about Christ and about to serve God, then God is behind it. But I see in the world the Babylon rising up in the churches because it's all about them and not about God. There was a revival that took place in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. Little church, not a big church. Revival broke out. Spirit of God began to move. People were being saved, delivered, healed. I mean, God was moving. And somebody talked the pastor, came to the pastor and said, "This is too big for us. We need to bring in professionals." That's what they did. The professionals came in, and the Lord wept. But oh, what a show they put on. And they carried on that show for some time, trying to fake what God had been doing in the beginning. And you and I were there. We went down there. This guy was bugging me to go, so we went. And I sat in there, and I almost cried. Because it was fake. The counterfeit had won out. Because the counterfeit always tends to build up the flesh. It's all about making you feel good. It's all about glorifying you. Now, I want to hit that for a minute. Jesus said, "Father, glorify me, that I may glorify you." I want you to hear that. Jesus said, "Father, glorify me, that I may glorify you." See, his heart was in the right place. His heart was not in glorifying me so the people will look at me. You understand what I'm saying? It was about glorify me that I may show them you and point them to you. It is not a crime for me to pray, Lord, glorify me that I may glorify you. That is not a crime. That is what I need to do continuously, that I may reveal Jesus to the world. And we have a way of judging ourselves if we take time to do it. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? Let them grow up together. We gather the wheat, throw out the tares. Why gather? Let them grow up together. Because the tares will show who they are by pointing downward. The fruit is black, poisonous, and it will always point to the earth. Wheat, on the other hand, is nutritious, it's good, it's golden, and it points up to the heavens. If your heart is for God, then the fruit of that heart will be for God. And it will be seen in the form of love and all of its attributes. Patience, kindness, long-suffering, caring about others more than yourself, taking care of the need of others before your own. These are our gauges, if you will, where we can move through life and know where we stand. If we are the type that constantly are aggravated because we're not getting our own way, then our heart is not with God. It's as simple as that. Whether we think our own way is of God or not. Because if our heart is with God and we're not getting our own way, if our own way in that case is truly of God, why should we be upset? It's God's way that's not getting done, not ours. And if he's not big enough to handle it, why would we think we are? Amen. I hope somebody hears what I'm saying. God, I think, is big enough to take care of himself. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need any of us, but he will bless us by using us and letting us be part of his plan if our heart is in him. I had all kinds of scriptures out I was going to read. Made me feel good. But what I believe the Lord would have us to know is not about praising God. It's not about singing songs. It's not about long prayers. If the love of God is not there, Because only through the love of God can you show the love of God. Your love cannot show it. Your love is always conditional. God's love is unconditional. And if you're going to love, you have to love unconditional. That means, husbands, you love your wives when you'd like to just take them out and shoot them. You love them. Same goes for your wives. For the wives, you got to love your husbands even though that you want to shoot them sometimes. Or hit them with a frying pan or a baseball bat or whatever the case may be. My mother's favorite tool was a Coke bottle. Pretty accurate with it. See, that's Philios. That's all about me. That's all about how I feel. But God's love is pure. And it's always, always for our good to serve Him. Let us seek that love continuously. And let us be aware of the blessings that He's given us so that when we do not respond as we should, we can recognize it for what it is. It's our heart needing cleansing, needing to get it right. Amen. That's all I got.
Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions. I'm still a man in need of a savior. Wanna be in the light as you are in the light. Wanna shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. All I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light. Wanna be in the light as you are in the light. Wanna shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. All I want is to be in the light.
All I want, all I want.
All I want is to be in the light.
All I want, all I want.
All I want is to be in the
Here on holy ground, here I bow.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are with us. And we thank you that as we go out into this world, that if we choose, you will be with us every step of the way. And we thank you and we love you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, lived to die, rejected and alone. Wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall. God of me, crucified, laid behind a stone, lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall, God of me, above all. Like a rose trampled on the ground. Took the fall, God of me, God of all.
Hey,
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.